Right into this. Today we're working right back in Colossians. I had another one I wanted to bring, and I told God I wanted to bring it. I said, I want to bring this other message. Really, it was on my mind, and I liked it, and I like messing with some Old Testament stuff and things that happened to our Old Testament characters, and so I was working on two messages at one time, and moving from one, and then going to the other, and moving one to the other, and it was like, no, you're not, I just felt, I thought the other one's going to be more interesting. You ever argue with God that way? You know, it's like a little kid. I mean, I want to go over here. And it's like, no. And it put that heavy impression on my heart. This is still what I want. For some reason, somebody here, if you've not been listening, please listen so we can move out of Colossians and go to another place, okay? So, we'll have Colossians back, chapter 1, but not the same verses you've been getting hit with, but powerful verses. And the Lord just, you know, moved, just, you know, it's Christ is supreme. As the title is, we've got to remember Christ is supreme. And I first titled it, it's all about Christ. Christ is everything, whatever. And it's just like, no, Christ is supreme. And we've got to remember that. And we need to be reminded of it and ask the Lord to remind you through His Spirit every day of your life that Christ is supreme. Whenever you hear all this crazy stuff going on anywhere in the world, you need to be reminded Christ is supreme. Nothing's happening that He didn't know was going to happen. And we see the world and it's chaotic, but it's not to Him. So let's get into this. And it's quite a little passage, and so you'll have it up here, but if you see me skipping through, paraphrasing a little, I'm doing it for the sake of time, but you'll have it up there. And it starts with this, verse 13 of Colossians 1. For God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Okay? That's the first big thing you ought to be really happy about. And it says He didn't just reach in there and jerk us out. He purchased us. And a lot of your translations, when it says, who purchased our freedom with His blood, will be added to that. And so He did. And that's how He purchased us. And so now, here's the important thing for you and me today. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, I'll read this over, and we're going to come back to a lot of this, because we're doing more and more verse-by-verse studies in this. He is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Does that ever hit you the right way? You ever thought, who was God talking to when He said in the beginning in Genesis, you know, we'll create man and woman in our image? Who's He talking to? And it says here then, Scripture, answer Scripture. Who is He talking to? Christ existed before anything was created. There He was. And they're discussing us. And we're going to create them in our image. We've sure done a world of hurt to mess that image up, haven't we? But they still did. And so through God, through Christ, God created everything. God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see. And this one we're going to come to in this message today, because this one bothers the dickens out of me, but it's real and it's true. And in many churches, in the denomination I was in before, they wanted to skip around this one because this didn't fit in with some of that doctrine. It doesn't matter whether it fits in with doctrine or not. Listen to me. Scripture is Scripture is Scripture. And whether it fits into somebody else's doctrinal thinking, our church or denominational doctrine, doesn't make any difference. What matters is if it says it in the Word of God, that's the truth and that's the way it is. And so He says, you know, God made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Pay close attention. We'll come back to it in a little bit. There's things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Now, a lot of people don't want to admit this, but there's a world we can't see, but it's out there. And there's all kinds of thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in this unseen world. And everything was created through Christ and for Christ. I never understood that one and won't till I get to heaven. Everything was created through him. I get that. And for him, you mean even this unseen world and all this stuff? Yep, before it went bad. I mean, the devil himself, he was in a high place. He was a high being until he rebelled against God. And so, you know, there was a rebellion. Things happened, and you know, we don't get a lot of detail, but we know there was rebellion, and the devil was cast out. And Jesus over in Luke 10 said, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth, and he was thrown out of heaven. Don't you wish you'd pick Mars or Venus or somewhere else to throw him to? Why earth? And we have to go through all this because of that. But there it is, and there's these thrones, kingdoms, things, authorities, it says, in the unseen world. But everything was created through Christ for Christ, and he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. We all know that one. That one's probably that's the most quoted verse out of all this, is that one right there. We sort of jerk it out, proof text it a little bit. But nonetheless, he is the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, and he's supreme. So that's where we get this. Christ is supreme. He's supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he's first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Christ, get that one? See, when you read this, do you get it? Let it sink in. God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And that's important. And that's going to be one of the first things we're going to start with. Anyway, we'll get to it. In all his fullness, he was in Jesus, and through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. We're almost through. Just a little bit more scripture. I know it's a lot, but we need to keep it together. I just couldn't divide this up. This, he said, he made peace, and this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, God has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I'm sure glad God sees it that way. Aren't you? Because every day I see myself and I'm reminded of how many faults I have. And yet here's my loving spiritual parent who looks at his kids, me, you, all of his children, and I just don't see any fault. They're covered in the blood of Jesus. And like all of us, we look at our kids my kids? It's those other people's kids that's the trouble, not mine. We all know that, don't we? Right, kid? No, okay. I tried to give you an out, and you just won't take it, you know. So, you know, Christ is supreme. And let's start with this thing first. Christ is God. And this gives some, you know, Christ is God. And we talked last week, if you weren't here, just remember, the Lord gave Paul the words to write to these people who were saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, that all flesh is evil, and blah, 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 and that God could not live in the flesh. And they're trying to totally negate the fact that your body, my body, is a temple of living God, temple of the Holy Spirit. This was a form of Gnosticism. The Gnostics went way back. But that doesn't matter so much to us now, as long as we get it, that Christ is God. And that's what he begins this whole thing with, is that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And then we grab that other part, and it says, you know, God is in Christ, and he's working through Christ to reconcile us. And when you see Christ, this is the whole point. When you see Jesus Christ, you see God. People say, how can I worship a God? Haven't you heard this? How can I worship a God or believe in a God I can't see? And it's like, excuse me. The scripture says Jesus is God. And he's God in the flesh. So yes, You can worship a God that you say you can't see. You've seen him. And then people say, well, how do I know Jesus lived? Well, go back and read the historians of the day. Go read Josephus. Read these other people who are outside the mainstream, who are just writing the history of the time, and they'll tell you all about Jesus and what was happening at the time. Yes, he was real. Yes, he did what he did. He performed all the miracles. All the things happened. And everything you see in Jesus Christ is everything that you need to know about God. So, you know, when the scripture says no one has seen God at any time, you haven't seen God come down and his God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You haven't seen that, but you saw him, what he looks like as a person. And you see his purpose and his mission and how he takes care of people and how he takes care of you. So when somebody says, if ever say to you again, well, I can't believe in a God I can't see, then you're not looking very hard. And share with them. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's God in the flesh. So that's why we have to know everything we can know about Jesus Christ. Listen, if I see any shortcoming amongst God's people, it's this. I don't mean just you here, but in the Christian community out here in this whole world, our whole society, they want to know about Jesus, but they don't seem much interested in knowing Jesus. There's a difference. That's why many a person can go to church, sit there through the whole message, go out and say, you mean he didn't speak to you at all? If his word is read, he's speaking to you. If you're getting, so there's a lot of word read today. You should have got a lot from God on this. But anyway, read everything you can about Christ. Read the Gospels. Then read the epistles. Paul wrote those to add to God. See, when we say Paul wrote, Paul didn't write anything. God, through him, wrote this. Learn everything you can. Listen. If you can take time to watch a two-hour movie, you can take time to read Scripture. So let's not kid ourselves. I'm not chastising. This is not the point. But the point is, we make time for the things we really want to do. And God's people have to start making time to know God, to know Christ. Know everything you can about Jesus. All Christian teachings, all of Christ's teachings, his character, his miracles, his attributes, the Sermon on the Mount, the Gospels, all of it. Know it. You don't have to memorize every word of it, but know it. Because, listen, read the Sermon on the Mount again. Just really go through. I'm going to preach through it here one of these days. And we'll do three at a time. And we'll go through the Sermon on the Mount. It's the character of God, and it's his godly character he wants within you and me. He tells us how to live. He says, this is what I want for my people. This is what I want to dominate your life. I want you to be like this. That's why he sat up there and taught that. I want you to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so you'll be filled. I want you to be blessed are the meek, right? I want you to have a meek spirit. Meek. He didn't say weak. God didn't call anybody in this room to be a little pansy. Okay? Now, wussies don't belong in Christian kingdom. Okay? I've been around these pacifist pastors and and you think, you know, go out in the parking lot so I can back over you. You weak little thing. Set an example of God in the church. Don't make everybody think God's this little wimpy thing that gets up there all pretty. Don't you see that all the time? You know, just turn on your TV, you know, and there's the pretty. And that's all they got. Dazzling smile. Okay. Yes. God's just here for you. Just climb that mountain and the pot of gold is at the top. And you just want to, you know, Tony, don't show that. You're not supposed to have that aggressive nature. Well, I'll tell you something. The more you know about Jesus Christ and the Sermon on the Mount, you know what all it's given? That's to help us walk this life in victory. But it's to be in victory, not defeated, not a bunch of wimps, not all beat up. You go over in Ephesians, he tells you to put on the whole armor of God, and having done that, he wants you to what? Stand. Having done everything, to stand, not be knocked down, don't let people roll over you. The Christian church, the Christian community has let society roll over us. Did Christians do anything way back when God was taken out of public education? Did we raise any ruckus? Did we go protest? Did we go meet at school board meetings or anything? Think about it. We just let one thing, remove him from all of our courthouses and everything. What do we do? There's huge churches out there who have great influence in their communities. Where were they? And we just went to sleep and we let all this happen. And here's Christ and God. You look at Jesus. I mean, when stuff was messed up in the temple, what'd he do? They were cheating people, selling, you know, bad birds and sacrifices for the people to give to the Lord out in the outer courtyard. Jesus walked in there and made a whip and kicked over the tables and chairs. Is that a wimp? That's a man of God. That's the Son of God. And he kicked those things over and drove them out with a whip. Listen, when you know God, you'll realize that most of the time, it's always love, but there is tough love involved in it. There's a time to sit down and say, you know, it's okay. And there's another time to sit down and say, you've done this over and over and over. Now, if you don't stop, judgment's coming. Everybody with me? You know, you've done this to me and done this to me, and there comes a time to say, and you're not doing it again. And I would say to anybody in this room, if you're being abused in a relationship, and you know, when are you going to stand up and say, you're not doing this again? Male or female? There's quite a few guys that show me their bruises. It's like, and you're allowing this? And it's like, well, wouldn't you, Tony? You're a pastor. I mean, yeah, I'm a pastor, and I'd do something real quick. You know, I'm not going to stand there and let somebody beat me in the face and hit me in the stomach. Are you? Yeah, it's okay to say, no, I'm not. You know, you're too quiet this morning. Is this a down day? Is this why? I'm glad y'all came in. I was worried nobody's going to be on the other side of these poles over here. And I wondered when I thought maybe my deodorant played out early last week or something. I didn't know what happened. Listen to me. I'm talking about knowing God and finding out that we tend to teach in churches just one side of Christ. And that's that side with the little robe and his little sandals and what did he really teach? To be aggressive in the kingdom of God. To get out there and go into all the world. Not to back down. Oh, we're to love people. But look how he handled it. You see, if you want to know the character of God, look how Jesus handled people. Look how he dealt with situations. If you're asking yourself, I've got a situation, I don't know how to deal with it, look to what Jesus, how did Jesus deal with it? He faced everything. How did he deal with somebody stabbing him in the back? How did he deal with somebody double crossing? How did he deal with slander? How did he deal with criticism? And being ostracized? And being abandoned. When they came to arrest him, he was abandoned. All of his buddies ran off. So if you're having abandonment issues and you feel like your friends deserted you, turn to the one who understands you. He knows what it's like. They left him standing there in the dark. And if you ever had anybody to lie about you, so is he. I mean, one of his best, one of his foremost, sat right there in the courtyard and said, I don't know the man. Every pain, every hurt, every sorrow we've gone through, he's gone through. So he knows how to pick you up and he knows how to get you through. And you say, what's this got to do? This is God's nature. This is who God is. And the more you realize that and accept that in your heart, the more you're going to love him. And the more you're going to realize how much he loves you. And there's just nothing you can do to make God not love you. He's just going to love you anyway. He's going to love you in spite of yourself. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I tell you the silly things I do, and I don't make any of them up. I do them, you know. You know, no, you can't make that up. I will admit, before this guy got up out of his room this morning, I was a little leery. I really was about the banana thing. I was self-conscious about it. So I went and peeled that and put it in there before he got up, because I didn't want a mistake to happen, just in case. I just didn't want you to see that side of me today. I knew I had to bring this, and I wanted to do it with a clear conscience. I didn't want him back there thinking, yeah, I know how he acts over a banana. Yeah, he can't even handle a banana. Yeah, well, anyway. Yeah, you do. Too much, really. The Gospels, the Epistles, the Sermon on the Mount, all of this is how to know God. So know that word. Know what he said. I don't want to harp on this too long. Just listen. If you want to know how to deal with people, look at how Jesus dealt with them. And listen to this. If you want to learn leadership, learn Jesus Christ. I'll never forget this. I was in Fort Riley, Kansas. And we were running an advanced course out there. And we had this lieutenant. He was a first lieutenant. And he walked into, and he was going to teach a class on mortars, ranging mortars. And he said, and he started talking about leadership and you know, and that mortar class and, you know, and all this stuff. And he said, let me tell you about leadership. He said, if you want to know and understand leadership, then you go and study the greatest leader the world has ever known. And I'm thinking, oh, well, no. And he said, it's called Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe an army officer stood there and said that to everybody. Thought, what a gutsy move. You know, because they don't exactly like that. But you know what? He was right, wasn't he? If you want to study leadership, you study the greatest leader the world has ever known, a man that could take a dozen people and impact the world forever. Now that's leadership. He did it without ever lifting a sword in his hand, without ever leading an army. He did it through personal leadership, the power of God within him. And this guy, and he went on. I thought, man, this lieutenant's going to preach us a message here. But it was sound and it was solid. Maybe that's why they let him get away with it, because it's true. If you want to learn leadership, if you want to learn how to really deal with people in every circumstance, get to know Jesus Christ. You say, why would you have to get up here and say this? We're all Christians. Because we get a little lax in the basics of the things we know to do. We forget how important it is to read this scripture, and not just read it, but let it reach our heart. Now let me move on, because I'm just sensitive about this thing, and people saying, you know, well, if God loved me, he'd do this. Or why doesn't God, if you just get to know him in Christ, you wouldn't have to ask the questions you're asking about God. It's here. It's answered in the life of Christ. The answer to everything is here. It really is. You know, if you're tempted, he was tempted. It says he was tempted in everything. Just like we are. Except he didn't give in. Is there anybody in this room that just been tempted and you just never gave in to it? Yeah, I'm afraid of that. Me neither. I know. You look at me and say, oh, Tony wouldn't give in to any temptation. No, not me. Nah. Got that anointing. The holy zapper gets me, man, and I walk in the door. I got the zap. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's that? What's that?
You might be afraid you are
going to
be zapped.
I'm afraid every day I might get zapped. My humor with God, I don't know if he likes it all the time. You know, I kid with God, and I don't know what he feels about that. But anyway, listen to this. Heaven and earth. The things we see, the things we can't see. Let's go to this next one here. Christ is God. And then I want you to look at this second point up here. I know it's there somewhere. There it is. He was here before and before and is over everything. He was here before everything, is over everything. I tried to shorten it, and that doesn't read real well. I was looking at it here and thinking, that didn't read like I wanted it to. But he was here before everything. He made it all. The whole thing, heaven and earth, the things we see and the things we don't see. Now here's where we get to that thing. He mentions these thrones and principalities, these powers. Listen, Christian people. There's things, this is now grabbing onto something that's not doctrinally accepted in many mainline denominations. They just skip around this. But when the Bible says that there's things out there, there's an unseen world, and it has principalities and powers. There's rulers in this world. If you want to know what's happening in our world today, they're the cause of it. These are fallen beings. The devil was thrown out, and there's a bunch of angels. If you read your scripture, it says, you know, there was a rebellion, and there's a bunch of angels that went with him, and they're what? Now demonic powers? Some are chained. They're going to be chained. They're going to be thrown in a lake of fire one day. But listen to me. There's an unseen world out here. We can't see it. But we're seeing the results of it. We're seeing its impact. And that unseen world and these demonic spirits, evil spirits, satanic spirits, the devil. You know, the devil is not, he's not omniscient. He's not all-powerful. And he certainly can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent. Can't be everywhere all the time. But he has other servants that are. And so these weigh on people, and there are powers at work across this country, across Israel, across the whole world, and they're motivating people to do evil and to dominate and to control, because that's what the devil has always wanted to do. He wanted to be God. He was thrown out of heaven, and now he wants to run the earth. Is everybody with me? And these powers in this unseen world. And you say, have you ever walked in a place and you knew that there was a presence there and it wasn't good? You can go in somebody's house and you realize something's not right here. But you can't see it, but you feel it. You can even, and I hope this hasn't happened to you, but there's even churches you can walk into. And as soon as you walk in that door, you sense something's not right in this church. I mean, and it's happened, you know, and it's like something's wrong here. I'll tell you, if you sense that, don't sit there fretting or blaming yourself. Realize there's powers and principalities, and not every place that calls itself a church is a church. Of course, we know the real church is our temple, right? The body that we meet together. And places that call themselves churches, I mean, if they're practicing other things out here other than Christianity, then they're not a real church. They're running after other philosophies and different things that you know, on the horizon. Anything other than Jesus Christ is the center of a meeting of people, then it's not a church. Period. A church, you know, the meeting place of the people of God, its central focus, its teaching, its whole significance, its purpose of being there must focus and center and evolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. His dying on the cross for us, his shedding his blood to cleanse us from our sins, and his rising again. And if there's any other issue at stake, then you're moving away from being an authentic church of the living God. And I've been in a few. The minute I walked in, I thought, oh, God, help me. And you could feel that bad, wrong spirit. And it's like, what has gone on in this place? You know, I do believe, and if you look back in the Old Testament, God, when his spirit departed, what word did he use? Anybody remember? Ichabod. Means my spirit has departed. And I wonder if there's some Ichabod written on many a gathering place of Christians these days. You can have fun. Boy, you can just shout to the rafters and have a big party, but I'm not here. Why? Because the meeting is not about me, you know, not about the Lord. It's about people and people getting satisfaction. It's all about people instead of about God. And I'm not here to beat on anybody's head. I'm simply saying, listen, and I think there's many a person whose heart is hardened because it got away from the truth of the Scripture and didn't focus on Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I'm going to say this, and I want to be careful. I've worked for a long time trying to do this myself, to write a book about a lot of things. But listen to me. Self-help books are self-help books, but they're not the gospel. And there's too many things that you can turn to rather than the Scripture. Why? Because there's a lot of things written out here that sound good and make you feel good. I'm not condemning reading books to supplement this. But too many Christians, they and I've had many tell me all out and about, you know, Tony, have you read this book? Have you read this new self-help book? And are that one, you know, written back when? And it's like, I'm familiar with that book. I've read a lot of them. I want to know what they say. And it's like, but do you know what the Scripture says? Do you know what the Bible says? Because all these books are intended to do one thing, to make you feel good. And I'm going to tell you something, and friends, listen. Reading this doesn't always make me feel good. Sometimes it makes me feel kind of low. Because I think I'm doing okay, and then I'm reading along, and then there it is, and it's like, I just stepped all over that. Right? That's why so many churches are compromising now, and they don't preach the real gospel, the true gospel, because it would offend people. People don't want to hear that adultery is wrong. They don't want to hear that greed is wrong, that God says it's a sin. They don't want to hear that other forms of sin out there and perversion. They don't want to hear that it's wrong, that God says it's wrong. They want you to get up there and tell them, oh, he just loves you and he can't wait to give you a blessing. When the truth is, if you don't stop it, you're going to get a spiritual spanking. The Lord said, the Scripture says, God disciplines those he loves. And I don't want to come under his discipline, do you? I've been there before. It's not funny. I'm getting too loud. I don't want to scare the children. Sorry. Don't want to shake them up. Of course, they're kind of used to me, aren't they? Said, all Pastor Tony does is yell at little kids up there. Let me hit this point, and we won't go much further. These spiritual forces, I'm not trying to scare us. You shouldn't ever fear them. You have Christ in you, your hope of glory. You just name of Jesus, you can send them running. But let me tell you one thing about these unseen spiritual forces. They know every one of our weaknesses. And isn't it amazing how when you're tired, worn down, upset, frustrated, depressed, have you ever wondered how it just seems so convenient that just the right temptation for the right weakness in your life just happens to appear on the scene? Right? You know, if your thing is to, just a few drinks would help me feel better, it's amazing how convenient somebody will offer those. Or I just need to go out and have a good fling with somebody. Well, they'll fix you right up. It's like a bartender in the old Western saloons that comes sliding right down the bar. Think about it in your life. When you've been at your lowest, how highly you've been tempted in the very things where you have a weakness. Now, how'd that happen? God doesn't tempt us with evil, so what did? It's these things. They know where you mess up. And you have to be tired and worn down some. So you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're grieving him. And then suddenly there it is. And how many of us in this room have fallen into temptation, have done and said things we wouldn't normally have done, but it was just so easy. It was right there. It was just so available. Turn to this. Do this. That's how it happens. We're in spiritual warfare. There's powers and principalities out there. Friends, put on your armor. Know the word of God. Get in prayer. Stand against it. Don't run in fear. There's nothing to fear. Jesus Christ has won the victory over these, but we need to take that victory into our own lives. Well, would everybody say amen this morning? You're the quietest bunch. You're never this quiet. I don't know. But usually, I don't know. It's like, I should have preached. I knew I should have brought that Old Testament passage. And I told God, I told you, they weren't going to like this one. You didn't listen to me. That's my humor I have with him. Later, I'll get in trouble for that. But anyway, know this. For all you worried about the chaos out here, as you catch the scripture here that Jesus holds in verse 17, he existed for anything else and he holds all creation together. You walk out of here this day knowing this, that though it looks like chaos to you, and it is, it looks like, man, I'm not going to get out of this. This is bad. Jesus Christ is the one that holds everything together, and no philosophy, no religion, no false religion, no theory, no form of reasoning, nothing else is going to change the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that holds everything together. Man creates chaos, but Jesus Christ holds everything together. And there is a point. There is a point. How far will he let things go? I think a lot of that right now is up to Christianity. He told us to get out here and make the difference in this world and to impact it and not be asleep. People are coming to church just, anyway, I've said it already. Me, right? And church is about God. It's a place we come to worship him. It's a place we come to glorify his name and then let him give us his power to go out here and do what he called us and gifted us to do. But Jesus holds it all together. He protects us. He sustains everything. Jesus keeps this world from disintegrating into chaos. It says it right there. He is supreme over everything. He holds all creation together. So when it comes down to it and you start getting upset, listen, you start claiming the scripture, Jesus, you created everything and you hold all creation together. So stop and don't really come to him. Stop this chaos. Stop the madness. Stop the lying and the disruption. Stop all the deception that's going on out here. You bring order out of chaos. You keep the whole world from disintegrating. Call on his name. That's what he does. If scripture tells us he does it. And it's true. I believe Jesus Christ, I know it in my heart, is waiting for his people to call on him. Humble ourselves, like it says over in the Old Testament, Chronicles. My people called by my name will humble themselves. Call on me. I'll heal them. I'll help them. I'll heal their land. And he's waiting. He brings this order out of chaos. It's not just the government or society. We blame the government, blame society, blame the media for our problems. I want to say this, and I didn't want to say this, but I've got to say this. It's not the government's caused our problems. And it's not society. And it's not the media. The reason that this country has the problems it has is because the church went to sleep. We let it happen. We removed ourselves from the public life, and everybody wanted to hole up in their own little congregations, their own little meeting places. This is not to make us all feel bad. It's just simply speaking truth. We can blame government, and we can blame society, and boy, there's a lot of wrongs out there. But who's allowed them? Who's willing to stand out there and get shot at anymore? You see? And it's time for us to get involved. I keep saying this, and I'm going to say it today. Write, when I say write, meaning email, text your congressman, your congresswoman, whoever your person is, your senator, and not just state level, but national level, get a hold of them. They read these things. They've got aides that do it. They don't ever see them, but they add this up, and I guarantee you they care because that's votes. They may not really be caring about what you're saying, but they care about your vote. And these people are very simple at heart. They want to get reelected again. And when you start letting them know they're not getting your vote or your family's vote or the people's vote in your community or your church, they start listening. Whoa, what? and an issue that they didn't care about at all suddenly becomes a hot matter. It's the truth. Learn how to do it. Get after them. I've called them. You know, this young of mine was sitting right there at the house when Congressman called me, and she was just going, "What the?" And we're just talking away. And they'll do it. And that's our U.S. Congressman. And, you know, and she was just flipping out. You know, so I get off the phone. She said, I got a few friends in high places. I just call up my congressman. How's it going? I want to talk to you about something. Seriously, you know, you never know where to lead. You know, give it a try. Okay, I need to wrap this up. I feel like this is kind of not as exciting as a lot of them. I thought, God, this isn't going to be so exciting. But yet, when we look at it, I mean, it's all there. He knows it all. He's done it all. But listen to this. Christ holds all power over life and death. I don't have to spend all time on this. I'm just exegeting this scripture, just verse by verse. Don't fear life and don't fear death. He holds all power over it. He brought you to God through His blood, His death, His resurrection. And Jesus Christ continues to deliver you through His power. I want to tell you something. We talk about fearing death. But most people that I've had to work with in my life, when we got down to, dug through all the stuff, and got to the bottom of it, most people don't fear death as much as they fear truly living. That's why they take things, get to smoking things, they do things to themselves. They're afraid of life. Death, you're done. That's the easy way out. Living is what brings fear to people. What does tomorrow hold? What am I going to be called upon to say or do? What kind of person does God want me to be? It's living, friends, that's a challenge. Dying's easy. It's living, and I don't mean just breathing. I mean living the abundant life Jesus Christ has called us to live. Living in Christ. Living through His power. Living, being alive on the face of this earth. Being spiritually alive. That's the life we're talking about. And people fear that. Now, I had many people tell me, you know, and they say, "I know I'm not doing what God called me to do." Well, why aren't you? "Because I just don't think I'm good enough." Well, listen, friends, who is? I'm not good enough to ever get up here and do this job. I'm doing it because He's good enough, and Mr. I wouldn't call Him Mr. Good Enough. Our God good enough lives in me, and that makes it good enough. Everybody follow me here? God uses not good enough people to do a really great job because He's doing it. And if I thought I was good enough, now I surely don't need to be up here. There's a bunch of them that think they're good enough, don't they? You know, look at me, come turn, tune in to me. You know, and I'll send you a prayer cloth if you'll just send me this much money. You've seen it, haven't you? Oh, man. Boy, he thinks he's good enough. The people that God uses are the ones that recognize, admit, and live their lives knowing they're not good enough, but the God of good enough lives in them, and that makes it great. And God can do great and mighty things to you. And it says that. He can do far exceeding anything you can possibly hope, ask, or imagine. If you just let Him. No, we're not good enough, but He is. He holds this power and He can do it. Don't fear living. Man, let Him in your life and just go for it. You know, the only people that don't fall on their faces once in a while are the ones that never try. If you're trying, if you want it, if you go for it, if you want to be the most Spirit-filled Christian you can be, I will tell you up here right now, you're going to hit it hard sometimes. just about the time you think you've got this spiritual thing worked out, and everybody can, you know in your heart it's true. You think, man, I've got it. I whipped that terrible habit I have. I'm not going to cuss anymore. Anybody ever said, I'm not going to say another cuss word like that again? Well, yeah, you better get ready because it's coming. But God uses it's consistency. It's staying in the game. It's living, going for it. You're going to hit it hard. You don't stop. You don't quit. You get back up. That's one thing I don't know. I still watch the old Rocky movies. You know why? Because every time he got knocked down, he got back up. And it's like, you know, that's the story of life. Boy, you just get hammered and you get back up. You keep getting up long enough, you know what? You're going to win. You're going to win. Because we serve a winner. I'm closing. Everybody just muttered on their breath, thank God. Thank you, God. Just remember this. As he wraps this up, Christ came to save and redeem. And at the bottom line of this, that's what the whole thing's about and why we're here. Christ delivered you, it says, from what? From these unseen powers. You were his enemy, separated from him. He came and delivered you from the kingdom of darkness. He did all of this. He delivered you from these things. He delivered you from death that sin causes. He brought you to God through his blood, his death, his resurrection. And Jesus continues to deliver you through the power of his Holy Spirit. Does he not? Right this day, I'm still delivered from sin and death, from all these horrible things. But through the power of his Holy Spirit, it encourages me every day. Convicts me of my sins, corrects me, and then encourages me to keep going. And he comforts me. When I'm in sorrow, the Holy Spirit comes calling. He works through the sorrow to say, I got you. God's got this. God knows your pain. God knows your heart. And God's going to take care of you. He's the healer of broken bodies, and he's the healer of broken hearts. And he's the healer of discouraged souls. Don't you ever forget it. So you believe and you stand firm. Don't look back. Don't look down. Don't give in. You come here to live this life and live it in abundance. And Christ is supreme. He's over everything. This world is not out of order. It looks like it to us. But Jesus knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what to do. And you're not out of order. And he knows exactly what you need and exactly what to do. And it's coming at the right time, in the right place, with the right people. So you just keep on getting up. And one of these days the bell's going to ring and they're going to say, winner. You've won. Christ in me, my hope of glory. I'm one. And you don't get a golden belt like a boxer does. You're going to get, it says, a crown on your head. And it's waiting for us all. So get up. He's supreme. Let's keep going. Let's take the Lord's Supper together.